It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
3-2 pitch. Fastball belted deep right.
From coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It is a very late start to hour number two on a Friday. We're behind, but for good reason. Quite the first hour of the show. We chatted with Augustana women's basketball new head coach Nate Vogel. And if you missed that, check it out. Podcast links on the ESPN Sioux Falls app. If you know your stuff, you're in the right place right now. We got Bill and we got Dave set to duke it out for the High Noon Showdown, always brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, the legends of flavor out on the east side of Sioux Falls. Up your grill game with Uncle Ed's Meats and an opportunity to win a six-pack of half dozen Oh My Cupcakes for Mother's Day. It's an opportunity for you not to drop the ball. All you got to do is talk about sports on the radio with me. Doesn't seem like too bad of a trade, but you got to beat up your neighbor too. Bill, looking to beat up Dave today. Bill, welcome into the show. How you doing?
Good.
It's great to talk to you, Bill. Do you want your questions from List A or List B today?
Let's go B.
List B for Bill. That'll put Dave on List A. And Bill, you got to go up to bat first because you got your choice of the list. I wish you well. It's time for the High Noon Showdown. Up for grabs today. Six pack of cupcakes to Oh My Cupcakes and $25 gift certificate to the Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, the all new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats on the east side of Sioux Falls, and a four pack of tickets to Tuesday night's Whiskey Myers concert here in the 605. It's time for the High Noon Showdown.
That's two, that's Far Shooter.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
It doesn't have to be a fight in the parking lot. Although we'd love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
All right, Bill and Dave have got their dukes up. We're ready to rumble. High Noon Showdown brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, east side of Sioux Falls. Now, Bill is up to bat first here. Bill, we go jersey number to start it off. Try to keep it pretty easy. But if you're a Vikings fan and you paid attention within the last week, this will be a layup for you. What jersey number will new Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy wear?
Oh, man.
Oh, man, indeed. Give me a number.
13.
That is not correct, Bill. He might end up being very unlucky, but right now, J.J. McCarthy has opted to wear number 9. Dave, your question today, what jersey number does Alabama rookie pass rusher Dallas Turner wear with the Minnesota Vikings? He did choose this number this week.
47.
That's not correct. He'll wear number 15, same number he wore in college. Dave, let's get on the right track here. We're going to talk basketball. Couple role players in this Nuggets and Timberwolves matchup. What college did Michael Porter Jr. of the Denver Nuggets go to?
He went to...
You got a second if you want to think
of Oklahoma State.
That is not correct. He went to Missouri. Not too far off, though. We go back to line number one. Bill, we're still looking for our first correct answer. Maybe you can deliver the goods. A player that recently got acquired via trade to the Minnesota Timberwolves. His name is Nikhil Alexander Walker. Where did he play college basketball?
No clue. Let's go to...
Give me an answer here. Duke, that is not correct. Same conference. He went to Virginia Tech. Now, Bill, we're still waiting for the first correct answer. I've got multiple choice for you here, Bill. You should be able to get this. It was in the intro of the show today. We'll wait and see. What horse, as in what horse's name, won last year's Kentucky Derby? Here's your multiple choice options. Was the horse's name Mage with an M, Authentic, or Rich Strike? Which horse won last year?
Mage.
That's correct. Mage. Bill, hey, you got one right. We're up 1-0 here. Here we go. Dave, I'll pick on you, too. You need to get one right to equalize the score. More Kentucky Derby trivia. Since 2000, since 2010, this number is the same. Since 2000, though, how many Triple Crown winners have there been in horse racing in the United States? Is it 2 Triple Crown winners since 2000, 4 Triple Crown winners since 2000, or 5? If you don't know the Triple Crown, you got to win all 3 races in the same race season with the same horse, same jockey, whole kit and caboodle. How many Triple Crown winners have there been since the year 2000, Dave?
I would say
2, 4, or 5. That's your multiple choice. 2, 4, or 5.
I go 2.
That's correct. We're on to overtime. A miraculous tie at 1 apiece. Bill and Dave. Dave, you get the opportunity to answer the tiebreaker first here. Give me your best overall guess here. What is the record time for completion of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs? One more time. What is the record time for completion of the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs? Here's a courtesy clue, and I know Bill can hear me as well. Generally, they say it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, in racing. Give me your best guess. Record time, Dave.
157.
157. Bill, you're coming back on the line with me, my friend. Bill, what is your guess? He guessed 157.
I'll go 159.
159. Bill, you're the winner, my friend, rising from the ashes.
Nice.
Secretariat, by the way, did it, and it is the fastest, most exciting 2 minutes in sports. But it's never really been 2 minutes. More often than not, it's more than two. It's 2 minutes and 2 seconds, 2 minutes and four, 2 minutes and six, especially when the weather gets involved. Secretariat, 1973, blew the field out of the water. I don't even think any of the horses behind him could sniff him. 1973, record time, 1 minute, 59 seconds, and 2/5 of a second. So for modern day, 159.4. Congratulations, Bill. You win the big prize pack, my friend. Job well done.
Thank you.
All right. Bill is our winner. Dave, a valiant effort, but falls just shy of the High Noon Showdown, brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed Specialty Meats. And that was a big prize pack for Bill to take home. He was 0-2, got the right answer with Mage winning it last year. Wins a $25 gift certificate to Uncle Ed Specialty Meats, a six-pack of free cupcakes to Oh My Cupcakes, just in time for Mother's Day, or just in time to stuff your face as well. Oh My Cupcakes, both at the Bridges on 57th Street and the East Side location in town, and the 4-pack of Whiskey Myers tickets. That is a huge prize pack. Congratulations to Bill and Dave. Better luck next time. Now into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Scorecard as well. Still to come. Friday Parlay. Our conversation with Joe DeLeon breaking down the NFL draft of the Believe Podcast Network around 12:30. And we'll wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now the rewind from last night across the sports world. Boston and Toronto have gone back and forth. The Bruins, one of the best teams in the NHL regular season last year. Same deal this year, but Toronto will not go away.
Cleared by Nylander, up ahead for Nyes, to Nylander, breakaway, game on his stick, scores! Willie Nylander makes it 2-0, we're going to Boston again, buddy, this time we're going to finish the job!
This time we're going to finish the job. I would not bet against Toronto. They're surging at the right time. They trailed that series 3-1. It's now 3-3. Game 7 will go to Boston. 2-1 the final last night. Toronto ties the series. Audio there, TSN 1050. Tonight in the NHL, we got a pair of Game 6s going on. Canucks at the Predators for Game 6, where Vancouver enters with a 3-2 series lead. Is a 6 o'clock puck drop on TNT. Stars at Golden Knights. Dallas, the team out front, 3-2. That puck drop, 9 o'clock, also watchable on TNT. NBA Finals from last night. Get to know TJ McConnell. He leads Indiana with 20 points in a win that clinches the first round series for the Pacers.
McConnell, they dare him. He accepts. And he hits a 3-ball up top. They begged him to take the 3, and he delivered.
And McConnell delivers all night long, 20 points, 9 assists. Indiana wins the first round series 4-2. Elsewhere, it was Jalen Brunson, it was Josh Hart, it was others. But the Knicks, in a collective team effort, come from behind to take care of Philadelphia, end the season, win the series 4-2.
Long rebound, Hart looks to push. Ahead to DiVincenzo. One-on-one with Maxey. Steps through, kicks it out. Brunson again, knocks it down. 2 in a row for Jalen Brunson.
Brunson on the night, 41 points, 12 assists. Beaten up for Joel Embiid, 39 points and 13 rebounds. Final score, 118-115. Knicks are moving on. Philadelphia sent packing. When it comes to those pair of teams that lost last night, Milwaukee and Philly, there's a lot up for grabs and up for debate this offseason as to what happens next. Here's Brian Windhorst on the future immediately of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Dame is committed to being there. Doc, I think changing the coach again doesn't make any sense. I think you want to hear from Giannis. We haven't heard from Giannis in almost a month because he's had this injury. Giannis's comments and his feel on where this team is are going to be very important. He just signed a long-term contract extension before the start of the year. He committed himself to Milwaukee, but you want to hear about where he thinks about the direction of the franchise because this team doesn't have the ability to improve defensively through free agency or really through trade. They're going to have to figure out a way with minimum players and stuff, and that's not appetizing. I don't see a clean path, especially with Philly and New York, strong and very upwardly mobile in the East.
Pretty darn interesting time for Milwaukee. They were one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win it all when that Dame trade was announced. And then, of course, we saw the return for the Dame trade. Holiday out of town. Pretty darn weird across the board. Holiday re-ups elsewhere. And it's been very difficult for the Milwaukee Bucks moving forward in terms of envisioning them being a championship team once again. But that's Brian Windhorst on the future of the Bucks. Elsewhere, Emmett Golden, host of Game Night on ESPN Radio, offered up this interesting storyline ahead of a matchup between the Pacers and the New York Knicks next round.
Really, it just comes down to the Pacers capitalizing off the mistakes that the Knicks make. It's very simple, and I don't know how many mistakes that they are, but it's a basketball game. Everybody has turnovers or, you know, bad shots and stuff like that. They got to make, you know, Jalen uncomfortable. I don't know if they're physical enough. Right? Like yeah, that, like yeah. We know the Knicks yeah. are physical. Yeah. I don't know yeah. if the Pacers are physical enough. Maybe they are. I know they don't play that brand of basketball, but that is where I'm looking at going, you know, if the Knicks bring the physicality that they had in this playoff series to that one, they should be in good shape.
That's Emmett Golden, host of Game Night on ESPN Radio. Tonight in the NBA, Game 6, Cavs at Magic from Orlando, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Cavs lead that series 3-2. Dallas looks to finish the job tonight on their home floor, playing host to the Clippers, 8:30 start time. Dallas leads that series 3-2 as well. Saturday, Timberwolves at Nuggets, Game 1, 6 o'clock on TNT. The Timberwolves have been bought down just a little bit on the spread when we checked in hour number 1. DraftKings Sportsbook has the spread listed at roughly 4.5 points in favor of the home Denver Nuggets. 6 o'clock Saturday night on TNT. Major League Baseball from yesterday. The Cubs have been up and down lately. That continues as the Mets engineer a walk-off in extras.
Payoff pitch to Lindor. Swinging a liner towards third. Fair ball. Base hit going into the left field corner. Around third, Beatty. He scores the tying run. Bader around third. Getting to the plate. There will not be a relay throw. Bader scores. Sliding. Put it in the books. Francisco Lindor has won it for the Mets in the bottom of the 11th inning.
Final score, 7-6. Mets win over the Cubs. New record for the Cubbies, 19-13. Audio there, WCBS. Colorado and Miami went back and forth, pushed it to extras, and as has been the case most of the season, the Rockies lose again.
The pitch is hit in the air, softly left field. It's down the base head. The Marlins walk off the Rockies. They sweep them. Sanchez the hero. They win it 5-4.
5-4 the final in 10 innings, and the Colorado Rockies, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, record 7-24 following yesterday's loss. Cleveland also lost yesterday. Good news for the Twins and everyone else in the AL Central, losing to Houston by the final of 8-2. AL Central standings as we get it tuned up for the weekend. Cleveland 20-11 in the top spot, 1.5 games up on Kansas City at 19-13. Detroit follows at 18-13, 2 games back, and Minnesota right there, 2.5 games back, 17-13 the record. Chicago White Sox, no nowhere to be found, 6-25 on the season. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Brewers at Cubs at 1:20, getting started very shortly, less than an hour from now at Wrigley Field. Other matchups, Rockies at Pirates, Tigers at Yankees, Angels at Guardians, Royals are home to the Rangers, Cardinals play host to the hapless White Sox, and then Red Sox at Twins from Target Field, 6:30 pregame coverage, 7:10 the official start time. You can listen to Twins Baseball always right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. NASCAR over the weekend. The race is Sunday at Kansas. 2 o'clock broadcast on Fox Sports 1. PGA Tour Golf, the CJ Cup. Byron Nelson continues today from McKinney, Texas. Got UFL action Saturday and Sunday. And the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. 5:45 start time on Saturday afternoon from Churchill Downs. Now into your ReliaBank headlines of the day here for hour number two. Quickly, South Dakota men's basketball announced the addition of transfer Dre Bullock to the upcoming roster. Bullock is a 6'6" senior guard from Niagara University, averaged 22 minutes per game last year, averaged 8 points per game, 50% shooting from three and 54% shooting from the field. Prior to his time at Niagara University, Bullock spent the 2022-2023 season at Louisiana Tech, former teammate of Caleb Stewart on the Coyote squad. Welcome to Vermilion, Quandre Dre Bullock. The regular season comes to a close for 12th-rated Augustana baseball this weekend, playing host to Minot State for a three-game series at Ronkin Field. Teams will play a doubleheader at 4 o'clock on Friday before a 1 o'clock senior day performance coming up on Saturday. 10 seniors will be honored by the Augustana baseball program, one of the very best programs, not just in our neck of the woods, but in the country for D2 baseball, 12th-ranked Augustana Viking baseball as of today. Now some troubling news from the Arena Football League. The reboot of the league could be kicking the bucket soon. The Iowa Rampage have already decided to do that for their season. Just off a win in their season opener, the Rampage have discontinued operations. In a Thursday press release, team owners blasted the league and its commissioner Lee Hutton for broken promises. Those broken promises and turmoil to start the season, including NFL Network backing out of broadcasting the games, including all sorts of other drama regarding the delivery of footballs, jerseys, camp gear, and more. Very ugly for the Arena Football League. Read more about that at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. And lastly, troubling news from Lincoln, Nebraska, as Nebraska forward Rink Mast will have surgery on his left knee and will miss the entirety of next season. He will take a medical redshirt and plan to return to the program in 2025-2026. But Rink Mast, a guy that averaged over 12 points and 7 rebounds per game for the Huskers, one of the headliners coming back for Fred Hoiberg and the Huskers as well, will miss the entirety of the season. You can check that out as well. Latest article available, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. We take a quick break, back with the posting of the Friday Parlay on your Friday, always brought to you by Pausabilities and High-End Glass and Tobacco. That's what's coming up next. Shortly after, Joe DeLeon of the Believe Network joins us to talk NFL draft, who won, who lost, and who's in the middle of the NFL draft following last week's draft's conclusion. That'll be next on Overtime. We take the break. Back with more of the show after this.
Stream us online. Stream us on the app. Streaming now. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO. Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It's the Friday edition of Overtime. Thanks for tuning us in as always right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. That's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. The Friday Parlay is back. It never left, but it just changed form last week for the NFL draft. This weekend, back to the typical formation. Brought to you by Pausabilities and High-End Glass and Tobacco. You can win Twins tickets for an upcoming home contest that is on Tuesday, May the 14th. Also, you can win so much more. Whiskey Myers tickets up for grabs, a six-pack of cupcakes, and your usual Friday Parlay prize pack that is already sweet to begin with. Here are your picks. Minnesota and Denver tussle on Saturday night. I'm giving the Timberwolves 5.5 points. That's what I saw this morning. It's been bet down to 4.5, but I'm going 5.5. Minnesota plus 5.5 at Denver. Second pick, Toronto visits Boston for game 7 out of the NHL. You just got to tell me who wins game 7 in Boston. Bet number three, interesting one here, Kentucky Derby this weekend. The winning horse post number, is it odd or is it even? If it's number eight, that's an even number. It's that easy. If it's number one, that's an odd number. Don't overthink it. Odd or even post number for the winning horse at the Derby and your tiebreaker. Total points for Minnesota and Denver game one on Saturday with the click of a button. The Friday parlay is live. Enter now to win big, and I mean really big, with the parlay always brought to you by Pausabilities and high-end glass and tobacco. We take the break back to talk more NFL draft. Does everyone love the Minnesota Vikings draft? We've gotten a mixed bag of reviews. Dustin Baker, noted Viking writer, slight Viking homer, every Thursday said A-. Most people say B+ for the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk about the Minnesota draft with Joe DeLeone, get the latest Packer draft, and much, much more coming up on hour number two of Overtime. It continues next right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Don't miss a moment. Pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you. Final half hour of the show for the week. Appreciate you being with us as always right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. One of our favorites around college football, pro football, and the intersection of the two in the NFL draft is Joe DeLeone of the Believe Podcast Network. Joe joins us now on the ESPN hotline. Joe, I hope you've had an opportunity to catch your breath. I know I have just a little bit. NFL draft, pretty darn fun this past weekend. What was the big story for you, night one or day two, day three, or otherwise, Joe?
Yeah, I think the big story that has to come away with this is the Atlanta Falcons situation and what they were doing with their pick at eighth overall. And I think it's a lot more complex than just saying, oh, what were they doing? Why did they take Michael Penix when they just signed Kirk Cousins to this four-year deal? It's very, very interesting to break down, because those who love Michael Penix during this process can also feel that there's almost a missed opportunity to see what he could bring to the table sooner. And then at the same time, to the Atlanta Falcons, we acknowledge that they're really putting themselves at a disadvantage to be as competitive as they could be right this second. So it feels weird for someone like me, who has high expectations for Michael Penix and thinks that if he was taken in the middle or the end of the first round into a situation where he would have sat for a year or two and then taken over, I would have felt pretty good about it. But it's just so strange to really react to the situation, because neither thing really meshes. Kirk Cousins is going to be there for 4 years, most likely. He's on the older side, but not that old that he won't see the field. And I hope this works out for either side, that in a way where Michael Penix can play soon and Kirk Cousins ends up at another destination that allows him to finish his career strong.
Self-inflicted ticking time bomb down in Atlanta for the new head coach, new GM, everybody there involved with the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix in there with Kirk Cousins, a guy that they paid a bucket load of money to, who hasn't even seen the field yet, already has top-flight competition right in his backyard and a serious hole still at edge rusher and other positions on the defensive side. Atlanta, pretty much consensus, was the big bozos of draft day when it comes to the big winners. Pittsburgh, Washington. Is there another team that comes to mind for you as one of the big winners over the weekend?
Yeah, I think that the biggest one was the Baltimore Ravens. I think that their draft class that they put together was unbelievable. They ended up in the first round, and they do this every single year, where they just sit patiently. They don't overthink things. They draft best available. And because they've done this over such a long period of time, they're able to keep repeating it. And when they took Nate Wiggins at pick 30 overall in the first round, that to me signaled that their defense is going to get even better this upcoming year. He's a 6'2" corner, great length, very easily mobile for a taller corner, and he ran a 4.28 at the NFL Combine. So he might need a little bit of development. He might need a little bit of work to really get to his full potential. But because he's going to be playing on a defense surrounded by so many other elite athletes, it helped him work through those issues, work through some of those growing pains a lot easier. But the rest of their class, Roger Rosengarten, who they took in the second round, he could be a potential starter for them. Adiza Isaac, super high motor edge rusher. from Penn State. Just feels like the Ravens prototype. Devontae Walker probably won't end up ever being a number one receiver for them, but is still a really good third option to play in a group that is filled with a lot much more smaller receivers. I love TJ Tampa in the fourth round, who plays nicely opposite of Nate Wiggins' skill set, being the more physical press type corner that can go opposite of him. And then lastly, I'm a big fan of Rasheen Ali being the fifth round pick, who is going to be a nice spellback for Derrick Henry, who has a little bit more versatility and a little bit more juice.
Baltimore Ravens, a team that I haven't heard too much as far as being one of the big winners in the draft. Good analysis as always from Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network. Steals and reaches in round number one. Non-quarterbacks, because everybody knows that Michael Penix and Bo Nix are considered big reaches. But steals and reaches in round one. Give me one of each if you can.
Yeah, the biggest reach for me was Chop Robinson going to the Miami Dolphins at, I believe it was pick 20. I think that they needed to be more aggressive in picking an offensive lineman. Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier were still on the board. Their center position to me is a glaring hole. And Chop Robinson, I don't see as a three down pass rusher, edge rusher for that matter. I don't think he has the power or the anchor to consistently defend against the run. And more importantly, I understand that they dealt with a lot of injuries at edge, but it's something that they could have addressed on day two because they already have a commitment with Jalen Phillips, with Bradley Chubb. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I have no idea where he's going to fit into this lineup. And then I think one of the biggest steals was Amarius Mims landing with the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a team that is trying to build and bolster an offensive line that is going to protect Joe Burrow for the long term. Orlando Brown Jr., assuming he's healthy, is going to anchor that left tackle spot. Trent Brown, who they brought in this offseason, would serve as a nice veteran mentor for Amarius Mims. And you can work Mims in wherever you need to early on to really start to build some momentum for him in his career. His ceiling is the highest out of any of the tackles that were selected. He's got such a small sample size of play that he might be the most natural tackle that I've seen play in my time evaluating, which hasn't been very long. But he still is very, very natural for the position.
Joe, I think Minnesota Vikings fans are pretty excited because they got a new face of the defense, pass rusher Dallas Turner, in a move up. Also moved up incrementally to get J.J. McCarthy. I don't necessarily want to talk about those two. We've kind of beat that horse quite a bit this week. But Kyree Jackson, the cornerback out of Oregon, tell us about him and why Vikings fans should be excited about their fourth-round pick.
Yeah, I think that Jackson was an underrated corner in this class because there were just so many names that were circulating throughout the process. But coming from Dan Lanning, you can always trust that defenders that you're drafting from him, and similar to the Georgia tree of defensive prospects, that they're going to be very high IQ, physical, hardworking. I think that Jackson could at the very least provide some nice depth. I don't know if he really cracks the lineup as a starter, but at the very least you're getting a nice higher floor prospect that will be strong depth for your secondary.
Certainly a lot to look forward to moving forward. Changing the guard for the Minnesota Vikings, Joe DeLeon, our guest of the Believe Podcast Network. The Packers draft, I was pretty not overly enthused about. I liked it. I liked it enough. It didn't move the needle crazy for me, but I wanted to pick your brain about a couple guys and also an undrafted free agent. I hate to do this to you, but you're my go-to specialist guy. Tell me first about Peter Bowden, the long snapper out of Wisconsin, that most people say was the best long snapper available.
Yeah, this year's long snapper class wasn't super exciting. We didn't have anyone that was worthy of getting drafted. Admittedly, I don't know a ton about him, but him being at the Senior Bowl is usually a pretty strong indicator. The Senior Bowl and Jim Nagy are fantastic at identifying who are some of the best long-term prospects at the specialist positions. Their track record has been so fantastic. So I trust Nagy for for making that pick for him being an invite to the Senior Bowl.
As far as the drafts go, the draft picks go for the Packers, Marshawn Lloyd was a little bit of a surprise, the position, the pick, and the fact that the Cowboys had an opportunity to take him and they did not. What should Packers fans look forward to the most about Lloyd, who's a dude who averaged 7 yards per carry last year?
Yeah, I think that Lloyd is This is actually probably the best situation for him because I didn't see Lloyd on film as a primary lead back who's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher, as some tried to depict him to be. And I think that the NFL's perception of him and the way that the Packers perceived him is more accurate with how he's going to play in the NFL. He played in an offense, and I think that Arjun Menon did a really good job of putting out this graph to depict guys that face the white boxes versus their yards per carry. And he had one of the highest rates of light boxes, which makes sense. He's got Caleb Williams, who is getting so much attention that it's going to open up a ton of lanes for him to rush. And it shows up on film where he's got really good burst and long speed that he has a gap and he's going to take it. He's not super great at changing direction. He's a little slow and clunky when he's doing that. So when we put him into the mix with Josh Jacobs here, that's the spell that you want, where Josh Jacobs is going to take most of the carries. He's going to take a lot of receptions out of the backfield. He's going to kill you between the tackles. And you bring Lloyd in on third down, or you bring him in as a quick breather for Jacobs, and he's the guy that you're trying to seam the ball in the space so that he can pick up some nice big chunk plays. So that is a great secondary option in your running back room. And Packers fans, if you acknowledge, hey, this guy is just going to be some added juice, we don't need to expect him to be eventually the long-term starter at the position, you'd be getting really good return if that ends up being what he does.
Lastly, Joe, always appreciate the time and the insight you give us here on Overtime. Rock solid round one picks. Now that we study these guys for months and months and months, and in some case years and years and years, we have their prospect ratings. We know who they are, and now you know where they're matched up, the situation they're going into, the franchise, their tendencies, their successes, their failures. Give me two rock-solid first-round picks from both the player and the landing spot. Could be Joe Alt, could be Marvin Harrison Jr., could be a quarterback. What do you think for two guys that are elite prospects that you would bet would have great careers in the situation that they landed in?
Yeah, I think that the first one, and I know that this is very, very easy picks to make, but Caleb Williams ending up with the Chicago Bears, I think, is the first one that comes to mind, because out of any first overall pick quarterback, I can't think of one that's been given a better situation. Now, their draft class didn't have a lot of picks for them to make. They did add Kieran Agandeji from Yale, who could be an early contributor part of tackle. But considering the fact that they took Roma Dunze, and the receiver room has Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, and DJ Moore, he has some of the best weapons the first overall pick has ever had. Their offensive line is decent, and I think it's going to need some time for it to improve. And their defense, same deal, where they've been slowly accruing some really quality players through free agency and through trades that eventually in a few years that defense could be really good. So I think the very, very easy one that is a slam dunk to say is without a doubt Caleb Williams. And then the next one that I'm going to go to is Jared Verse, the Florida State edge rusher, formerly of Albany, who ended up with the Los Angeles Rams at pick 19. Verse, to me, was my number one edge rusher, and I think he ended up being the third one selected. Super physical. He's got a great power profile. He is able to generate so much strength in short areas. He can put tackles on their butt so easily because he's that powerful. And I think that now with the Rams, as they made a commitment this year to going and finding multiple players to add juice to their defensive line after losing Aaron Donald, I think that Burst could have a really good rookie year and then a long-term career being not taking over the full production of Aaron Donald, but being a productive player on that unit.
Very interesting stuff. Again, Caleb Williams, Jared Verse, a really intriguing pick there for Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network. Joe, we'll do it again soon. Always appreciate the insight. Can't wait to talk to you about college football, pro football, the draft moving forward again soon here on the show. Thanks so much for the time, as always.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Joe DeLeon, Believe Podcast Network. You can find Joe very easily on Twitter at Joe DeLeon. Top tier analysis as always. And how about that for a second pick for a rock solid player and landing spot? Jared Verse, a name that we heard a couple of years ago about a really great pass rusher. Hey, he's transferring down to Tallahassee. We'll see how it works out. It certainly worked out. He was one of the top guys coming into the draft. They have the slide of the defensive guys. And between Verse and Latu and Dallas Turner, a lot to like in the pass rusher class. But Verse on the Rams defense, pretty great landing spot as far as history goes, as far as ability goes, and the future of his playing career. Speaking of our future, we're not long for this world this week. We got about 10 minutes left on the air with you. We take a quick break and come back and deliver the good the bad, and the ugly. That's next on Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Bert Ramin back here with you. Friday edition of Overtime, final segment of the week. Still an opportunity to get your picks in for the Friday parlay, always brought to you by Pausabilities and High-End Glass and Tobacco. What's up for grabs this weekend, Bert? I'm glad you asked. Four-pack of Minnesota Twins tickets, a four-pack of Whiskey Myers tickets for the upcoming concert on Tuesday night at the Premier Center. Also, your usual choice of a big gift certificate to Pausabilities or High-End Glass, free teeth whitening, a t-shirt, so much more. Friday parlay up for grabs right now, and that includes as well a six-pack of free cupcakes to Oh My Cupcakes to guarantee that you'll either be stuffed with goodies or not dropping the ball for Mother's Day, or both. A lot to look forward to. The Friday Parlay posted right now on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls under the hashtag Friday Parlay. Brought to you as always by the fine folks at Pausabilities and High-End Glass and Tobacco. There is so much good, so much bad, and so much ugly about the sports scene on a daily basis in our country and abroad. And it's time now that we deliver the good, the bad, the ugly to send you packing on a Friday.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
As always, we'll start out with the good. Here's some good news. Katie Ledecky, the most decorated women's swimmer in history, and Jim Thorpe, the first Native American to win an Olympic gold medal for the United States, will be among 19 people honored today by President Joe Biden with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Ledecky's a seven-time Olympic gold medalist in swimming, taking home at least one gold in each of the past three Olympics, and she will compete at the Paris Olympics this upcoming summer. 16 individual gold medals at the World Championships are the most by any swimmer, man or woman. As for Jim Thorpe, he passed away back in 1953 and is among a list of recipients that pays special homage to firsts in their field. Thorpe became the first Native American to earn an Olympic gold medal in 1912 when he won the decathlon and the pentathlon. By the way, I'm a big reader. I love sports history. If you've never read this book, and if you're willing to give a book a shot, here it is. The Real All-Americans by Sally Jenkins tells the story of early American football. 1911, 1912, Yale and Harvard, other interesting institutions, including an institution called the Carlisle Indian Industrial School. Did you know that Native Americans played a massive role in the formation and the growth of American football? That is one of the favorite books I've ever read. It's called The Real All-Americans by Sally Jenkins. You should check it out. If you'd like to borrow my copy, hit me up at any time. It's on my bookshelf and will never leave there for good. But Real All-Americans, fantastic story, and it includes the big-time achievements of Jim Thorpe, passed away 1953, one of the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom that's given out today by President Joe Biden. On to the bad now, or on to the good, rather. Carolina Hurricanes continuing with the good. Coach Rod Brind'Amour said he feels really good that he'll be able to reach a new contract with the team, mirroring optimism from President and General Manager Don Waddell a day earlier. Brind'Amour, considered by many the face of the franchise with his long-running ties in Raleigh that include being the captain of the 2006 Stanley Cup winner, is in the final year of a deal reached back in 2021. Have no idea how he's reached it that far, but Rod Brind'Amour likely to be back, says he feels good about reaching a new deal as his team continues in the postseason. Now to wrap it up with the ugly, very ugly out in Boulder. Colorado coach Deion Sanders and his son, quarterback Shedeur Sanders, have gone on the offensive on social media. That's never a good thing. Following a story about how former Buffaloes players fared after many were run off following the arrival of Coach Prime. This is a couple days old, but still patently ugly. Former Colorado safety Xavier Smith told The Athletic in a story published on Monday that Deion Sanders, quote, never even tried to get to know me and, quote, was destroying guys' confidence and belief in themselves. Shador Sanders posted to Twitter that he didn't remember who Smith was. Bro had to be very mid at best. That means he stunk. Smith, who had injury trouble in his short time at Colorado, earned freshman All-America honors at FCS Austin Peay in 2023 and had since followed Coach Scotty Walden to UTEP. After Shador Sanders' tweet, things escalated into a series of back-and-forth trash talk, which included Deion Sanders, the leader of the program, the reshaper, and quite a culture maker out in Boulder, getting involved in this, frankly, really, really stupid spat on Twitter. It's an ugly look. It's unprofessional. It's bad for college football. It's bad for football. It's bad for everything in general. And for Deion Sanders to get involved is really, really ugly and dumb. I've been a fan of what Coach Prime has done as a coach on and off the field. I really have. And I didn't blame him for showing up to Boulder and say, guys, hey, hop in that portal. I got a lot of guys coming in. He said it his own way. He is unapologetically him all the time, but flat out wrong this week for him and his son to go after ex-players that feel alienated by the program. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is the show. We got to hop off now. Thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend. Watch the Derby. We'll talk to you on Monday with more of Overtime.